Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 178 with Nick Gray.
And that's why a lot of the franchisors out there, you know, they really love veterans, because veterans know how to be, you know, given a mission and told to go execute, and that's our job in the military. And so in a lot of cases, it's definitely a win-win when you marry both franchising and veteran entrepreneurs, or veteranpreneurs, as some people coin it.
In the past 6 months, I've done 4 different interviews with veterans about different aspects of franchises. Nick, my guest today, started a franchise development group, which provides free services to help veterans figure out whether or not a franchise would be a good fit for them, and if so, which franchise to choose. This is a great episode for anyone on active duty considering entrepreneurship, as we talk about a lot of topics related to starting your own company and choosing the right entrepreneurial vehicle. Quick note before we start, if you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, there are 3 things that would make a big difference to me. First, there is a donate button on the site. Second, I'm lining up sponsors, so if you know of a company that would love to advertise on the podcast, it would be greatly appreciated. And third, if you know of anyone who would benefit from this show, please spread the word and help me build awareness about Beyond the Uniform. There are a ton of resources in today's show notes. Check them out, beyonduniform.io. And with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Nick Gray. Joining me today in Denver, Colorado is Nick Gray. Nick, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, pleasure to be here, Justin. Thanks for having me.
And special thanks to Mark Frank. Mark from a vintage Beyond the Uniform episode number 65 made the connection to Nick. And for listeners, I wanted to give a quick background on Nick, who is the founder of Graypoint Ventures, which is a franchise development group bringing fresh, innovative, and demand-driven concepts to the marketplace. He started his career working for franchise development groups when he was just 19 years old, and then served in the Army, where he served as a non-commissioned officer in platoon communications for 4 years. Since then, he has founded 4 different companies. So Nick, maybe to start things off, if someone listening was on active duty, how would you describe to them Graypoint Ventures?
Yeah, that's a pretty simple thing to explain. So that's a good thing in itself. And we help people venture into business ownership through the power of franchising. So what we do is that we, particularly when it relates to active duty, when they're transitioning into the civilian sector, and they're not really quite sure as they want to go into the corporate world, what we do is we sit down, we talk to them, we try to get an understanding as to what their goals are, both short-term, long-term, professionally, financially, and then just take them through an entire discovery process, number one, to figure out whether or not entrepreneurship as a whole is a good fit for them. Is it going to help them achieve their own goals that we've established together? And then if so, what we do is really start to break things down and do a persona building a concept with them. And from there, we start to go out and identify different franchise concepts that are throughout the United States primarily that will help them achieve their goals both personally and financially. So pretty simple.
I love, I've had a couple interviews with different people in the franchise space, but I love that seems like you're filling that gap of helping someone figure out, first of all, is this something that they want to do? And I'm curious, does anything stand out as like common reasons that people opt out of a franchise or say like, this is actually not the right path for me?
And that's, there's 2 things that as a reason as to why somebody would, typically opt out of a franchise entrepreneurship endeavor, besides the fact that maybe somebody's just not qualified financially. But the first thing is that they suited to be entrepreneurs, and that's something that we obviously we'll really look at to make sure that they are suited for entrepreneurship. And in some cases, we'll obviously come to the conclusion that, you know, this is just not the right fit for you. It's not how your mind works. But secondly, is that if they are qualified to be entrepreneurs, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're qualified to be a franchisee. And the reason why is because, true entrepreneurs, they're trailblazers and, cutting edge, want to think outside the box. And that's awesome. I've been there myself. I've done that. And it's a lot of fun. However, certain people, just want to, as I always put it, they want to create the playbook, rather than be given the playbook and then go execute on it. And so true entrepreneurs really want to create that entire playbook and blaze their own trail. And that's perfectly fine. But a lot of people really don't have that gumption, so to speak, or they're a little too risk adverse. That might be the best way to put it, to where entrepreneurship in the franchising realm is a perfect fit for them. So typically people that look at franchising but don't go into it are either not qualified to be entrepreneurs or are qualified to be entrepreneurs but really don't want to be confined to a certain system that's set in place for them.
Yeah, it's one of the things why, in the interviews I've had, and I'll put all these in the show notes for listeners if you haven't heard, there's about, I guess, four different interviews I've done in the franchise world so far. But one of the things that I appreciate about this model is there are so many people on active duty and recently transitioned veterans I speak with that say, I want to go into entrepreneurship, but I don't have an idea or I don't have any business experience. And it seems like if that's something that you as a listener are identifying with, that franchises provide kind of training wheels for a business. And I ran my own company after Stanford Business School for 8 years. And there's many ways in which I'm envious of the franchise experience because, business school is great. It's not really training you for entrepreneurship. But if you enter into a franchise, you're getting specific knowledge related to running a business. And I don't think I got that out of business school at all. You're getting the specifics around marketing and hiring and firing and training and all things that are very, very hyper suited to the franchise, but is great business experience in general. And sometimes, when I project on this, I'm like, man, I spent over $120,000 on business school. If I had put that same amount of money in a franchise, not only would I have been learning and getting training and support, but it's an incredible financial opportunity. So just one lens through which to kind of view this. Go ahead. I kind of went off on a tangent there, so feel free to weigh in on what I said.
No, that's quite all right, though. But you're exactly right. And what you said is, it really goes to the whole thing about the proven playbook. And typical franchisors aren't looking. Actually, no franchisor really is looking to have somebody come in and just recreate everything. What they're looking for is people that can be handed that proven playbook and just go execute. And that's why a lot of the franchisors out there, they really love veterans because veterans know how to be given a mission and told to go execute. And that's our job in the military. And so in a lot of cases, it's definitely a win-win when you marry both franchising and veteran entrepreneurs or veteranpreneurs, as some people coin it. And even really the nice thing, too, is that some of the franchisors out there will also offer a significant discount to veterans as a thank you for their service. So
that's great.
It's a nice little added bonus.
And you had said, you had said at some point financial considerations, and let's chat about that. Like, what sort of, if someone's, let's say, on active duty, maybe they're like 2 years out from separation, is there a target money, like amount of money that they should have, in store to be able to take part in a franchise?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you obviously need to have some money. And so the amount of money that I would say that you would need to have saved up is probably a heck of a lot less than most people think. And that would be about $20,000. Obviously, that greatly depends on how much money you need based off of the type of franchise model that you would be investing in. And so a majority of people think that franchising is all about food service. So you have your McDonald's and your Burger Kings and your Subways out there. But the reality is that a majority of franchise systems that operate with the United States are not food service. And so when you look at the food service, your cost of getting in, you're looking at $300,000 to $500,000. But if you're looking at more of a service-oriented franchise concept, you can get into one of those for as little as $20,000. And the best part about it is that the service industries outside of the food service run margins as much as 80% to 90%. As opposed to food service, which is about 10%. So there's a huge difference in variation. But sometimes, obviously, 90% of 500,000 is not as much as 10% of 10 million. So you just kind of have to do the math. But that's really where it comes in into truly understanding as to what are people trying to achieve financially.
Yep.
And if you're not looking to go out there and build an empire, well, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go out there and, get a big SBA loan or hit your friends and family up for hundreds, if not $1 million. And it just when you bring in SBA and you bring in families and friends, it complicates things quite a bit more.
And so you're saying some people, especially if they're going the food route, they would go to the Small Business Association. They would basically apply for, I'm guessing, it's like a loan, or they're going to friends and family and getting some sort of loan from friends and family in order to have enough capital to buy that food services franchise. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So those are the traditional routes of a funding vehicle. However, though, there is another funding mechanism out there that a lot of people aren't familiar with, but it is endorsed by the IRS. I always love to say that so people don't get squeamish. But it's a 401k or an IRA or even a TSP rollover. And so what that allows you to do is take some of those retirement accounts essentially and take part or all of it and roll it into a business venture, i.e., in this case, buying a franchise. And by doing that, you avoid paying all penalties and taxes, and you can have your money in as little as 15 days. And the best part is the fact that you don't have any debt to service. And so your break-even point is much quicker.
That's incredible. I actually didn't know about that. That seems like a really efficient way to get that money in place. And one other question I had on finances is, I'm guessing, you'd said it's about as low as $20,000 to buy into a franchise. I'm also assuming that the vet would need some amount of money to be able to live off of, right? Like, how long do they need to kind of have in savings to live off of before an average franchise starts to actually be able to pay them?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a really good question. And to be safe, a majority of the time, you're looking at, you want to have at least 6 months socked away. And that's really, I would say, the safe spot. However, though, it does greatly vary depending on the operating budget that you put together, the business model that you're buying into. There are some models out there, one in particular that I'm working really closely with right now, putting together a program that is designed specifically for veterans, and we can dive into that here in a second. But their break-even points, you can be in the black within the first month or two. So it just really depends on what do the revenue streams look like, what your operating expenses look like, but also then, what does your own personal finances look like? You know, is it a single income household, dual income household? Do you have some sort of pension from the military? There's just a lot of things that play into it. And those are the things that we obviously take into consideration when we sit down with people and really just figure out, okay, so, you know, what direction are we going to go? What are your goals? And then, you know, really go out there and find the best models out there that fit your needs, not the other way around.
And so just to make sure I've got the right lay of the land here. So you were saying there's like food services franchises, and then there's just straight up service franchises. Before we dive into kind of the particulars there, any other bucket of type of franchise that people are looking at?
Well, I would say that franchises, I mean, they run the gamut. There's automotive, there's child education development. I mean, you can even buy a winery franchise now. So they run across the board. But the biggest ones, the three main ones that I like are high margin, low fat, and demand driven. And so big one right now is actually senior care. Just because of, you know, the baby boomers and the aging population of that size, as to where a lot of them are wanting to stay in their homes, but they can't because of certain things. And then there's these franchises out there that are all about senior care. And these companies allow people to stay in their homes rather than having to go to a senior care facility, so to speak. So non-medical. But that probably is one of the biggest industries right now that's popping.
And, I mean, that makes sense, right? Because you've got this trend of, like you said, you've got the baby boomers getting older and needing care. I know this is like very specific to people, but are there specific franchises that you would recommend people looking at?
I get that question asked all the time. And, if somebody's looking at food service or food in general, the one particular model that I would look at as far as, you know, what do they serve would be drive-through, particularly double-sided drive-through coffee franchises. Kiosk,
what's that mean? What was that again? Double-sided coffee shops?
Double-sided coffee, coffee,
triple mocha latte
kiosk.
Okay,
yeah. So you know, you have those little coffee kiosks that are sitting in the middle of parking lots, and you drive up. Looks like a little barn or a little hut, for that matter.
Yep,
those are money makers.
Really, I would have never thought of that. Why is that?
Well, there's a number of reasons, but the capital outlay to get it set up, number one, is less. Number two, your inventory is less. You don't have a ton of employees that are working at once because there's no room. There's no need for it. Your utilities are a lot less. But then also your spoilage is a lot less because it's beans. And maybe you have some muffins or whatever, but it's just beans and syrups and so forth. So they're really the only perishables that you have that have a very short shelf life is going to be your dairy products, and that's pretty easy to get to go through in a timely fashion. But the other thing that's really nice about that particular model is that it can also be a real estate play too. So in some cases, if you don't want to lease the land, you can actually buy the land. In an unfortunate situation, let's say that the kiosk is not doing well, and it will typically be because of the fact of the location that you went into, you still have that hard asset that's attached to it. So you still have equity in the business itself beyond what your revenues are.
And as you were talking about that, and apologies if I missed this when you said it, but everything that you're doing, so when you're helping people figure out whether they should go into franchises, when you're helping figure out what franchise to go into, this is 100% free for the person you're working with. Is that right?
That is correct. And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so I'm assuming, Because part of this is you're working with franchises that are looking for like really well qualified people, and so I'm assuming you get all your money from the franchise once the placement's made. So it makes it free for anyone listening if they wanted to meet with you and see if they, you know, if this would be well aligned for them.
You couldn't have said it better. Yeah, I mean, really, really, what happens is that franchisors, they pay me to bring them qualified people. And the reason why is because they get inundated with so many inquiries on a daily basis. People that are just, you know, just shopping around or just curious. Sometimes they just, you know, want to get a menu mailed to them. I mean, there's some odd things that happen in this industry. But the reality is that they want to make sure that they are talking with people that are, number one, qualified to be entrepreneurs, but number two, qualified to be a business owner within their own model.
Yep.
So no model is alike, and that's the most important thing. And then as far as the benefits, you know, from clients that come to me, I mean, outside of the fact that it doesn't cost them anything, is that, you know, I save them a lot of time, money, and energy as well. Money by making sure they don't do something that they're going to regret. All the time that it would take to be researching over 6,000 different franchise opportunities that are out there, and that's the main thing there. And you know, I work with a lot of people across the board, but veterans are my favorite. And the reason why is because I know what it's like to, you know, to be in the military and then transition out. And really, it's that first 2 years that I personally believe are so critical as finding, you know, that purpose once again. Because the two things that people miss the most, and I'm sure you probably miss the most as well, but it's that sense of purpose, that mission, but then also the camaraderie. And yeah, being able to replace those two is so critical within the first 2 years. And so, you know, I just it's just a lot of fun. So
what about and I think that's great what you're doing. I think I you know, just as an entrepreneur, what I like about your the business that you've created is you've created one that delivers value to great people for free, and you make your money in a way, and you make a money way where it makes it easy for you to make a living. But it's just awesome that you can really support people, and I'll put links to your site for listeners. But you know, if you're considering this, it seems like a risk-free way to get, you know, a risk-free way to get a lot of information to help you figure out if this is the right path for you. And one thing I'd ask Nick is, you know, let's say someone's listening, and maybe someone is a hard charger. Let's say they've got 2 years left on active duty, and they're really thinking ahead on what they want to do for their career. What resources would you recommend to them to check out in the next year? I don't know if there's a particular book, conferences, podcast, webinars, but anything that you would recommend to listeners?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it would be easier to address that by, you know, if they're hard charters and if they want to get into entrepreneurship, and particularly in the startup world, the startup in general. The two organizations, one of which I am directly a part of, is Patriot Bootcamp. And Patriot Bootcamp, it's a nonprofit organization that helps veterans start technology companies. That's pretty much the best way to put it. And they put on two big 3-day boot camps a year. The next one's going to be in Denver in September. And then the other one they do usually is in the winter in San Antonio. So that's a great resource for people that are looking into entrepreneurship just in general. The other one would be Bunker Labs, and they have satellite offices around the country. And they do pretty much the same thing as Patriot Bootcamp, but just in a different way. I think it's probably the best way to put it, but both great organizations and are there to help veterans get into the technology startup world. The other, you know, if you're looking for just jobs in general, if you want to go into the corporate world, I personally don't have too many resources that I know of outside of the traditional ones that are out there that probably everybody knows about. for corporate stuff, just because of the fact that I don't think I've actually ever had a corporate job, really. So I'm not too well-versed in that area.
This is great. And I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. For those of you who are interested, and this will all be in the show notes, but I actually interviewed Charlotte Creech from Patriot Boot Camp in episode number 137. And two episodes later, in episode number 139, I interviewed Todd Connor from Bunker Labs. Both of those are great organizations for vets and worth checking out. What about... you know, I just wanted to touch on, it's pretty impressive. You've done multiple startups prior to this one. And I know we only have a couple minutes here, but what would you want listeners to know from your years of experience in entrepreneurship? Any advice for people who are thinking of starting something from scratch?
Yes. And I'm glad you asked that. And the first thing that people should 100% understand is that there is zero value in cool. Cool really equates to a very expensive hobby. and the biggest thing is that you need to be able to, you know, have a solution for a problem that currently exists. Don't build a solution in search of a problem. And the best way to do that, you know, if you have an idea or whatever that may be, and you want to test the waters, you want to try to validate it, is start out with market and customer discovery. Go out there, you know, research the market, and then talk to the target customer that you think your solution would be serving. And do a ton of that. I mean, the Lean Startup Model, that's a really good book to read. And it really, you know, takes all the marketing customer discovery, creating a solution for an existing problem, and then creating a minimal viable product and getting people to use it, and then gathering feedback, and then improve upon your processes, and then scale the hell out of the business. But the biggest thing that anybody should avoid is going for the cool factor. You know, I mean, it's like with franchising. A lot of things in franchising or business in general, you know, they're not very sexy, but they can be very profitable. And so that's the best advice that I can give.
That's great. And I know in another interview, I talked about a different entrepreneurial vehicle called Search Funds. That's something, if you guys are listening, guys and gals listening, are interested in entrepreneurship, you know, there is the route of starting your own company. There's the route of starting a franchise. And then there's another model called the Search Fund, where you actually look for a company in a non-sexy industry like tow trucks and things like that. And you actually raise money to buy that company and grow it. And so lots of different ways, but I agree with what you're saying, is that oftentimes the coolest and sexiest things don't make money. And I love what you're saying about validating an idea and making sure you can actually make money, that it's something that is a pain point so big enough that people are willing to pay you to get rid of it, and then figuring out if there's enough of those people to pay for it to actually be able to make a business out of it. So I love that you called out Lean Startup. I'll add a link to that in the show notes as well. I know we only have two or three minutes left here, but I always like to keep the final question open-ended. And that's just, what have we not talked about that you'd want to share with listeners as kind of some final words of wisdom?
I don't know if it necessarily would be final words of wisdom, but I did mention earlier that there was a project that I was working on, and there is an author out there by the name of Michael J. Penny, and he's a former Marine, and he took the 5-paragraph op order that we used in the military to do mission planning and execution, and he translated it into a business planning book. And so what I did is I went out there and formed a partnership with his book and his business planning based off of all the mission planning and execution principles and strategies that we learned in the military with a franchise. And so we're now actually onboarding veterans into this franchise system, operating off of the five paragraph business plan, which is based off of the five paragraph op order that we all used in the military. And whether business, franchising is a good thing for you or not, or just business in general, I would highly recommend checking out five paragraph business plan, just because of the fact that it makes complete total sense to me and to a lot of the people out there as well. Wow. So it's pretty exciting. It's probably one of the most exciting things that I worked on in the last couple of years.
Awesome. I was just looking that up while you're talking. So this is I'll have this in the show notes too, but it's called Five Paragraph Business Plan, the Action Oriented Business Management Tool for Leaders, and it's by Michael J. Penny. And I'll throw that link in the show notes too.
Yeah,
Awesome.
that's
Well,
awesome. Yeah, he.
oh, good.
Oh no, I was done speaking.
Awesome. Well, Nick, I appreciate the service you're giving and that you're doing this for free for people. And I'll have all the information about what we talked in the show notes, but thanks for your time today.
All right, thanks for listening. I hope that gives you a look at one possibility, one of many if you're interested in entrepreneurship. I know that there's a lot of stats running around out there. I think one of them is that a third of people on active duty think of starting their own company. I think that's great. You can start your own company, you can start a franchise, you can join a search fund and buy a company. There are so many ways to scratch that itch, including just joining an existing startup, and a lot of trade-offs on all of those. Check out the entrepreneurship section of the website. You'll hear, I think there's over 40 different episodes. Hear from different veterans about what they've liked, disliked, and learned through entrepreneurship. One last plug, if you're enjoying the show, check out the donate section of our website, refer a sponsor to us, or spread the word. Any one of those three makes a big, big difference in helping keeping Beyond the Uniform going. Thanks, have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.